This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
One of the best resources available for solo travelers who are safety-minded is the U.S. State Department website. Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has pored over all the different sections of this site and is prepared to impart a significant portion of the knowledge base to you. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Astrid knows that safety, concerns about safety, are top of mind for our listeners and most people considering solo travel. The State Department has a safety checklist for would-be travelers, and that's where we start.
Okay, the traveler's checklist. They have a checklist, and it's seven broad categories, but the seven basic categories are get informed, then get your required documents, get enrolled, get insured, be prepared, be connected, and be safe. So within all of these different categories, they tell you again, they give you a checklist even on what you should do. Okay, so the get informed, you know, I've gone through the basic destination information, safety and security information, health precautions, your health abroad in a specific country, money matters, travel to high risk areas. Again, like you said, Catherine, LGBTI travel info, women travelers info. There's usually in every one of these sections specifically for women. Not all countries have it, but most now they do. So they give you certain little things that if you're a woman traveler, you should be aware of, whether it's a custom or something that is definitely gauche or you need to do. And it's really good for solo women travelers and then older travelers and travelers with disability. The next one is get required documents. We all know passport. We got to have a passport now. And like I said, it's got to be valid 6 months before you leave and 6 months after you return. And that's really, they're getting more and more persnickety about this. You have to get the proper visas, and you have to, you know, whether you have to get them beforehand or you can get them at the airport. Prescriptions. If you take meds, you need to get your prescriptions, copies of those, and a letter from your doctor. If you want to drive, you need to get an international driving permit. You can't just assume you can go rent a car. Some places you can, but others, they want you to get an international driving permit. So the State Department will tell you whether that you have to do it and how to get it, okay? Then they also say make two copies of all of these documents. Keep one copy away from your person. Give it to your family member or your loved one back at home. The other copy, what I always do is I hide it in the lining of my suitcase. So if something happens to what I have in my purse, whether it's my passport or my credit cards or whatever, all I have to do is go to these documents. I have a copy of my passport, all the information in there that the embassy would need to replace the passport. I have copies of my credit cards, the numbers to call, you know, my flight itinerary, etc., hotel, blah, blah, blah. So I have that. So I have it in paper form too. And, you know, I haven't had to use it yet, but you never know when you do. And they suggest doing that. So do it. Then get enrolled. And this means enroll in the Smart Travelers Enrollment Program with the State Department. This is wonderful service because you put in your particular information of a specific trip, where you're staying, how they can contact you, who your relatives are that they need to contact or significant others in the event of emergency. It is the way they communicate with you if there is a crisis that arrives through text and email. I mean, this is really fabulous because it is an online communication tool with the U.S. State Department. It's fabulous. So do it. Just do it as a matter for every trip. Get enrolled with STEP, and it's very easy to do. Then also, they suggest follow the TravGov Facebook and Twitter pages, because they, you know, they're instantaneous information on that also. And in the event you lose your phone or you can't remember your username or password with STEP, you can go to Facebook and Twitter, whether it's on somebody else's computer or your smartphone or whatever, and know what's going on. So they say that's how you get enrolled. Then get insured. I've talked about that. Health insurance. Make sure you have what you need when you go overseas. Get the supplemental insurance policies if your policy only covers certain things. That emergency evacuation service for, you know, I know it just sounds like, oh, well, I'm not. But you will sleep a lot safer, better if you have that. Because you never know when something could happen, an accident or whatever. And you need this. That is recommended. And also just basic travel insurance, trip cancellation. You know, there's all kinds of things. We did a whole podcast on different things that can make a trip go south. And if you have this trip insurance, when it goes south, you know, you just roll with the punches because you can get reimbursed when you get home. Okay, then in the be prepared section, they suggest always have your passport or in your visa handy. Now, in certain countries like Afghanistan, you need to have it on your body at all times. But, you know, in Europe, you can carry it, you know, in your purse, the copies of it or whatever, and leave the actual passport and the visa in your room safe. But, you know, you do need to have some kind of official documentation on you. Cash and local currency. Don't leave your hotel without at least some cash. I mean, just don't do it, because invariably somebody will say, nah, we don't use credit cards. I mean, even in France, you know, and you'll be able to get something you really want because you can pay in cash and you've done a deal and they don't want to use a credit card or something like that. Your electric converters. Know which converter, which voltage goes with which country, and they will share. They will say that. They will tell you that on the website, and you know, of course, you need to bring it to be prepared. They say bring extra medications. That's probably smart. I've never done it because I bring the prescriptions, but they do say that. One other thing, number that I do carry with me is the number of my physician. Mm. In the event something would happen and, you know, there's all kind of, at least they can call your doctor at home. If you, you know, if you use doctors on a regular basis or whatever. I don't really, but, you know, I'm older, and so I want to make sure that if something happens and they need to talk to my physician, they know the number. Be connected. Have those emergency phone numbers. And I'm going to give you some emergency phone numbers here shortly. But have them handy. Write them in that little journal or have them in your purse or whatever. And if you're, you know, have a photographic memory, yeah, memorize them. My daughter, my son, my husband all have photographic memories. I don't. I always, you know, have to, what was that number again? So I have to write it down. Okay. Then also with Be Connected, communicate with your family and friends regularly, either through email or text, messenger, social media. They're giving a little bit more warnings with social media now, but the bottom line is you need to stay connected with your family and friends on a regular basis, just as a matter of being safe and, you know, that nothing gets out of hand quickly. Then I did mention the Twitter, Facebook, TravelGov is really good. Okay, then the Be Safe general tips that are on this traveler's checklist is develop an exit strategy. Now, this sounds, you know, like, because for most Americans, they don't think about stuff like that. They're so used to it's going to be okay mentality. People from other countries don't think like that. They have a whole different mindset about it. And the more you travel and the more you go to different areas, you need to kind of think like, what would I do if something bad just happened? Yeah. I'm sitting here having lunch. What would happen if somebody would just go bonkers and start, you know, pull out a gun or whatever? So you need to start thinking of, what would I do? What would I do? Just kind of start trying to think of those kinds of things. And I'm going to apologize right now for this drill saw you're hearing in the back. We are recording in my home, and I'm having a window replaced, and they've decided to show up right now. So I think it's not going to – I think you can hear what you need to hear. But if you hear that non-musical background, that's what it is.
Hopefully my magical noise reduction function in Audacity will help, but so maybe listeners won't hear anything.
Yeah, it'll be off and on. So okay, so these are some of the things, like when you get to your hotel, look for where the exits are, whether they're in the common areas or how close they are to your room. And a lot of times, you know, for solo travelers, especially women, if the hotel is really well run, they will know to put a woman near the exits in the event of something, you know, rather than way down at the end of the hall that there's no exit. They will just to know to do that. But look at the exits. Look at where the exits are in the plane. Look at the exits where in the hotels. Look at where the exits are in the restaurants. And if you don't see that, my husband, who is an retired architect, he told me one time, he said, Astrid, if you're ever in a restaurant and something goes on, run to the kitchen, because they have to have an exit out of the kitchen in terms of architectural design. So you might want to sit near the kitchen if you're feeling uncomfortable, or if some, you know, just know that if you can't get out of the front door, we'll run to the kitchen. So you look to where the waitstaff is coming out. I know this all sounds kind of little, you know, I don't know how to describe it. But the point is you never know when this is the one thing that gets you out of trouble.
We're already into worst case scenario territory, so I don't think you should feel bad about that. I mean, the whole point is, like, this is planning for the totally the worst case scenario, the crisis that would be totally unexpected, and we're just trying to give some basic tips for how to deal with it. So I think you should feel confident. This is not sounding paranoid. This is sounding
okay.
Like we're planning.
Okay. Then this is going even further. Know where the embassy is, and can you walk to it? Mm. Now, I know when I was in Beijing, that was one of the places I was most concerned about really being safe. And so I booked my hotel where I knew I could walk to the embassy in the event that something that I wanted to leave or something bad. I mean, but if you know you can walk to the embassy, if you're really super uncomfortable or something's going on and you need their help to get you out of the country or whatever, I mean, it could be the thing that saves your life. So at least know where the embassy is. Can you walk to it? What the address is and how you would get to it, okay, if you would need to. Then, of course, follow the local instructions if something is going on. You know, it'll be on the television, but if it's not in English, there could be a problem. If you can't get CNN or whatever, BBC, it could be a problem. But try to follow whatever is coming through the media outlets, as well as go to your hotel and discuss with the hotel management what is going on, what you should do now to stay safe. They might put you on lockdown. I know my sister and her husband traveled to Barcelona in this last attack, and unfortunately, they actually kind of went through the scene where it was happening, but they got to their hotel. The minute they got into their hotel, the hotel said, "We are in lockdown, and you cannot leave here until we let you out." And they had to stay. I think they were in lockdown for a good 24 hours. But the hotel was very gracious, took very good care of them, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if you can't get to the embassy, try to get back to your hotel. Yeah. And they, you know, use them as a resource.
Do you think is it unreasonable to, when in part of your research in advance, to look and see if your hotel has an emergency plan? I mean, is that something we should be checking into?
Well, I've never done that, Catherine, but I do, you know, I'm all about affordable luxury ideas for solo travelers. So I don't stay in hotels that are medium priced or below. I stay in 5-star hotels that are boutique or, you know, authentic or nice, that have good concierges, that I know I can get service when I need it. So I feel those hotels are so well managed, and they want to protect their asset and their reputation, that they do plan for that. I mean, that's just all part of hospitality. So I've never gone that far. but I'm sure that certain hotels, they will probably tell you some things, but not everything. Right. Some of it has to be,
security.
Say, yeah. Okay. So this is really an excellent checklist, I think, for, you know, everybody who is traveling. And you really should kind of think about every item on the list. Every item has some validity that could help you if something arises.
Let's move to mid-crisis abroad. What are the most important tips to handle, cope with, and possibly literally survive a crisis overseas?
Okay, well, to answer this question that nobody wants to really think about, yeah, because that is like the ultimate bad trip, is, you know, I'll refer back to this wonderful website with the U.S. State Department. They have a whole list of emergency informations in there, just practical general information and country-specific information if an emergency should arise when you are traveling. I'm going to go through, you know, a lot of these things that I think will help you in the event that something like this happens. Now, in the emergency situation or section, that is the number one item, which is not a total disaster. It's not like a terrorist attack or some kind of natural disaster, earthquake, flood, or something like that, is basically losing your passport. Now, that is a big stressor, but it can be solved easily if you're prepared. And this is what they suggest. Well, first of all, you have to have it to leave the country. You cannot enter the United States without your passport. Okay. Next, if you lose your passport, the first thing you need to do is contact the embassy or the consulate and make an appointment to have a replacement and to let them know you have lost your passport, okay? You're going to have to get photos made. So they will tell you where you can get passport photos. You can't just show up and say, "I want another passport." You have to have those little photos. Then when you go, you need the photo. You need your driver's license. So if you don't want to bring your driver's license, make a copy of that in those things you need to copy with your credit cards and your passport and your visa. Make a copy of your driver's license so you have a second form of identification right there that they can look at and make reference to. Also, you have to have the copy of your old passport information. So if you have those readily available, I mean, you're going to get another passport. You're going to, you know, it's all going to work out. They also will want to know your travel itinerary. They will want a copy of your flight out. And if you have a police report, if you reported it to the police, And they will help you do that too if you didn't do it at that time. If it happens on the street or something and you don't see any law enforcement, they'll work with you to do that, because they want to make sure that, you know, there's not another Astrid Clements running around the world. So, okay. And when you're there, you're going to execute what's called a DS-11 application for a new passport, and a DS-64, which is a statement saying that this passport has been lost or stolen. So, you know, there's no funky, you're not doing anything, you know, sneaky. And this passport will be good for another 10 years. So it's not just to get you home.
It's a real passport.
It's a real passport. But they also will do what's called an emergency passport, which will only get you home. And both of these have normal fees. And I would say the emergency passport is maybe if you don't have everything you need. I don't know exactly why they mention that. But
there's an option.
Yeah. So, and know that the embassies are closed on weekends and holidays. And so you can only do this kind of service on the next business day. I mean, you have emergency numbers that you can contact the embassies, but to actually do this physically, they won't do it unless it's a working business day. Okay. So the next section is help for U.S. citizens who are victims of crime. Now, if you are a victim of a crime, which to me is such a sad event on a trip, but this is some of what the State Department recommends. First of all, contact the police immediately if you can. Sometimes they're not around and you can't, but if you can, immediately. Then get a police report and get a copy of it. Next is contact the embassy. So if you can't find the police, your first step is contact the embassy, and they can help you, okay? They will, first of all, contact your family and friends and or significant others or whoever you've told them, you know, who are on your list. Something has happened to you, whether you've been robbed. But the bottom line is they will let your family know that the crisis has occurred and they are helping you. And they will be in contact with your family and what your family needs to do if they need your family's assistance. They'll help you obtain medical care. They'll explain the local criminal process. They will help you get information on your case. They will give you a list of local lawyers who speak English. And they will also help you obtain information. In certain countries, they have victim compensation programs. So if you are a victim of a crime and not a citizen, and maybe citizens too, but I know if you're not a citizen in certain countries, you can get compensated for it. So you might not know that this is a program that is, but say you got robbed of $5,000. I mean, they might compensate you for that, $1,000 or something. So the State Department will let you know if there's any kind of program like this and how you go about, you know, applying for it, et cetera. What they cannot do is they cannot investigate your crime. They cannot provide legal advice. They cannot represent you in court. They cannot serve as your translator. And they will not or cannot pay legal fees or medical or any other fees. Mm. So those are the things they can't do. Another section. Okay, now I talked a little bit about scams. And they have a whole section on you, Catherine. You love this scam. You want to do a whole scam.
I do want to do a whole scam show.
But they go into international financial scams and how you can get scammed with various, you know, nefarious setups. The first one is the old romance scam, where, you know. And for women especially, this can happen.
Preying on lonely hearts.
Oh, yeah. And if you're a solo traveler, they'd come up to you and talk to you. And, you know, oh, you're beautiful. And I'd never forget, I had some some gentleman. He was Indian, from India. And I was at Wimbledon in the Wimbledon Museum of all places. And this man was just professing, "Oh, please, you know, I would love to take you to dinner. I want to marry you." You know, I mean, he was just going on and on. I said, "You don't even know me." I said, "You know, I don't think so." But you know, some people are just out and out crazy or criminal. So this one was off with, I'm sure, some criminal probably intent at the bottom of it. But this sets women up who could be lonely or could be vulnerable to think, "Oh, he's cute," and just let her guard down. And then all of a sudden it comes to, you know, I need like $2,000, or, you know, then they start that. Then it really comes out what they want. It's just your money. So, you know, I'm not telling you don't fall in love when you're traveling solo, but that is, you really have to be careful.
Caution.
Yes. The next one is the drug trafficking scam. Now, this is kind of like, you know, you could figure this one out pretty good, unless you're just a little naive, I guess. But, you know, you can be on the internet or whatever, and it's, a company will offer you a free trip somewhere, and they will pay for your travel to a destination. But part of it is you have to basically be like a courier. And you have to bring a package somewhere. And usually these scams, you will stop on the way somewhere and pick the package up. And then once you get there, you'll deliver it. Huh, drug deals. Don't ever do anything like that. I mean, you don't know. Could be innocent, but just don't even go there. Okay, well, I have to mention this.
Yeah.
Catherine is looking there. I can't believe it. But, well, I mean, you know, this is on the website, so this means that it does go on, okay? Then you've got the lottery scam. Now, this is, they will offer lottery tickets online. And don't buy them if you're in the United States or somewhere in another country, because you have to be physically in the country to buy the ticket there and to cash it in. Don't fall for anything like that. There is a scam called the Turkey Drop Wallet Money Scam. And this is when you see money on the street, like a bunch of bills, you know, or you'll see a wallet and somebody will say, "Oh, is that your wallet or something?" And you'll look at it, and, you know, you might pick it up and look at it. And then out of the blue, another person said, "You stole my wallet. You took my, you know, get the police," and all that. And it's a big scene. And before, I mean, you know, you just, a tourist, you know what I'm saying? Beware of money and wallets or anything on the street, and somebody says, you know, it starts to engage you in that thing. Don't touch it. Just say no and leave. Okay. The Tea House Restaurant Bar Scam. Now, this, and I've heard this happen to some people. Usually it's younger travelers. But, you know, if people, you know, start coming up to you and try to make friends with you, you might be at a restaurant and they'll say, "Oh, you know, isn't the food great?" and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll want you to go somewhere, and then they'll say, "Oh, well, I'll even be your guide," and blah, blah, blah. And then later you'll end up at another bar and they'll you know, order one or two really expensive drinks, and you're thinking, what's going on here? And then you'll get the bill, and you'll say, "Well, you know, you pay for your own." And boy, then the restaurant owner or the bar owner, you know, or the tea house, they come in and they are furious. And this bill, to your horror, is like huge. It's like a $400 bill for like three drinks or something like that. And they get really, like, bad. This is like a real, shakedown, you know, and some people, you know, I've read about people being beaten up and all kinds of stuff there. So look, these people that come up to you and try to be friendly or whatever, just you pay for your stuff. You don't go off with them. You know, if you're a solo traveler, if you do, I mean, be very cautious because they could be a scammer. That would be, that sounds horrible. Okay. Then also these young students, especially in some of these third world countries around the tourist places, they'll come up to you and say, oh, do you like this artwork? Or are you interested in rugs or whatever? We've got some great deals and stuff like that. And, you know, they will take you to some of these places and they'll actually prey on you. They'll say, oh, you know, they'll get you there. And like the art students, I don't have any money. I am hungry, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it turns into you think you're going to get something nice and going to get a deal, and it is just nothing but a scam. They could care less. They're just trying to see how much money they can get from you and make you feel sorry for them. Don't go there. Then the last one, and this is kind of common sense, but it's on the website, so I'm going to mention it. If anybody asks you to watch their bag, just say, I don't do that. Because in certain places, that happens. And all of a sudden, the police come and say, is that your bag? And you'll say, no, I'm watching it. And they say, well, I want to open it up. And then, boy, you're in the middle of some kind of blackmail, that, you know, because it could have drugs in it or something that is illegal. And so these people are blackmailing you for money to get out of this, you know, pseudo setup. So don't watch anybody's bags ever, period. Just say, I don't do that. I'm sorry. Basic tips to protect yourself and your money from scams. Never send any money overseas to someone you don't know. Just don't. Never disclose any personal information on the phone or online, and even they're saying now social media. Social media you got to be careful with now. Okay, fraud hotline. This is a number you need to write down. So in the event you are a victim of a scam, you can call besides the embassy. 1-855-303-9470. And if it's too good to be true, it is. So just, you know, these are just a few scams that they call out, but there are others. So, you know, there's a fine line between meeting people and being cordial and learning about the customs and the people that live there and their lifestyles and protecting yourself from a con artist. So just always be prepared that they're a con artist. Lots of times you can basically tell, but sometimes you can't. So never let your guard down. Okay, next section, emergency financial assistance when abroad. What happens if, you know, something happens to your money and your credit cards and you can't replace them? I mean, they have a section, destitute abroad. Now, that sounds really sad. But this is what they tell you to do. Call home first. Then contact the embassy's American Citizen Service Unit, and they'll help you. They really will help. And this is a comforting thing to know. They'll show you, they'll tell you how to wire the money directly to Western Union or MoneyGram. They'll actually help you with that. If you don't want to do that, they can advise you where to set up a bank account to have money transferred to your bank from your bank to the bank there. Now, you know, sometimes it takes a couple of days, could take even a week to actually set up, but they will tell you what banks will do that and will accept wire transfers. Now, what I do is, and what I recommend, if you can bank with a large international bank personally at your home and you have, you know, assets in it, it's good. Like I use JP Morgan and they're at most everywhere where I travel. So, and I also Morgan Stanley to a certain extent, but the bottom line is I know that I can get money from JP Morgan, into, wherever I need. So I don't have to open up a separate bank account, but it could happen. So the embassy can assist you with all of that, which is fabulous. They can also, they can actually receive money from home. They can receive it for you. So, you know, if you don't want to do any of this other stuff, they'll tell you how to send it to the embassy. Okay, things are getting worse. Terrorism. If a terrorism attack happens, they say, first of all, it's usually without any warning. But if they have any kind of suspicion that they're hearing chatter or whatever, you will know it through travel alerts. That's why you need to be enrolled in STEP. You'll get a text message saying that we've received information that, you know, it's highly possible within the next week that there will be an incident here, there, whatever. And stay, keep watching those social media sites on Facebook and Twitter from the State Department, TravelGov. Avoid areas where there are crowds. That is the number one. Just don't go where there are crowds are, because that's where, unfortunately, the big bad things happen.
Soft target.
Oh, right? Yeah. And now, you know, the guns are bad enough and the bombs are bad enough, but now it's knives and vehicles, which is, that's a whole nother level of. So you want to try not to be around a lot of people, because they're not going to probably hit one person. They want to mow down a lot or, you know, cause a big panic where there are a lot of people. That's not always hard and fast, but that's kind of it. That's what they're recommending. So, sports, political gatherings, don't go there, even if you have tickets. Holiday events, don't go there. If there's some kind of perceived danger, just don't do it. And then hotels, I hate to say this, but a lot of times if I'm going to places where there's a little bit or they're more of a kind of a anti-American bias there, I will not stay in a major American chain hotel. I will stay in one of the country's hotels, their chains, or, a family-owned five-star boutique hotel. I'll avoid that because the hotels can be targets now, and we've seen that around the world.
Yeah, I was going to say we've heard about news reports with some terrorism where it's like the news report will say a hotel popular with journalists and other expats who are staying at the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. So I won't name any names, but I kind of gave you the just use your common sense. Also, churches. Oh. That's just a horrible event that somebody would actually do a terrorist attack at a church. But churches, like Christian churches, you know, in certain areas of the world, restaurants, high-end restaurants, or restaurants, like you said, where expats and Americans and markets. Oh, my God. That's just, you know, but these are all places they don't go. Public transportation and airports. Airports are becoming more and more kind of a target. They're working on keeping them real safe, but it's not totally there yet. Okay, so these are some of their basic safety travel tips to avoid a crisis or an emergency. When you're in an airport, first of all, before you go, try to book direct flights so you don't have to go through one or two transit airports. And if you do, avoid the high-risk airports that you transfer to. Because, you know, you might have to stay there for 10 hours or something. And if you can't get into a VIP lounge, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you can't check in and you can't go through security that quick. or it just leaves you vulnerable. That's what they're saying. Okay. Minimum time in the public areas, which means go through, once you check in, go through the security and get into the waiting areas, whether you can go to the airport lounges or the VIPs or whatever, get through that because it's much more safe than being in those public check-in areas or the baggage claim areas. When you arrive, leave as quick as you can. Get your bags and get out of the airport. And then the last thing is keep your eye out for abandoned packages and briefcases. Now, I see them all over. I'm always like, should I say something to somebody? And so far, knock on wood, and I'm not really suspicious, but I'm kind of, when I'm talking about this kind of stuff, is, you know, should I say something? But you see more of this than you think. So just hurry and get out of there. In public venues, anything that's focused on a Western kind of thing, these facilities are more vulnerable. Whether you've got an outside American soccer team or it's, you know, something with a Western venues, rock concert, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's where something could happen. And you need a plan of action to get a to safety. So if you want to go to something like this, and they're saying you should kind of think about where's the nearest police station, how far is your hotel from this hospital. So the bottom line is you should talk to your hotel before you leave. Say, I'm going here. Do you have any suggestions with safety? Is there a hospital close by? If, you know, I hurt myself. You don't have to say I'm scared something's going to blow up. But whatever. And just try to prepare yourself. If you have any sense of discomfort or if there's a reason you've gotten some information that, you know, there something could go down. Then the next thing is they share that use a personal safety kind of strategy, which they call the run, hide, fight strategy. So if something is happening, if you can run, if you can get away from the area, get out. Just run, okay? But if that is not possible, hide. Try to hide. Make yourself invisible. If that's not possible, do the best you can to fight and fight off the attacker. And I know that there are a lot more solo women travelers taking self-defense. And there are a lot more women even who are live in the United States that take self-defense courses. Just to be prepared, if somebody grabs them, what are some of the things, you know, jab them in the eye, kick them between the legs, you know, hit them in the bottom of the nose with your, you know, the inside of your fist, all these kinds of things. And they, you know, the self-defense teach you how to practice, et cetera. And there are new devices now where that you can press on them and they sound a huge alarm. Your phone actually can do some emergency things. So try to fight off this attacker. But think, run, hide, fight. Run, hide, fight. Okay, taxi cabs. Oh, that's probably my most, that gives me more anxiety than anything else is getting into in a taxi cab. Because the few things that I've ever had happen to me, which all turned out okay, no problem. But I got real stressed out in taxi cabs. So they say, first of all, to carry your cell phone at all times and make sure it's charged. Because one of the instances I had, my cell phone was going out. Text your family and friends that you're getting ready to get in a cab. And when you come home, when you've got home, if you're concerned about something, it's always a good idea. Because then they know exactly where you are and blah, blah, blah. Avoid gypsy cabs. You need to know which cabs are licensed and which cabs are gypsy cabs, and don't fall for any of that. Oh, well, we'll do it for, you know, a lot cheaper and we're good, no problem and all that. No, there's a problem. Don't go with them because you never know. I mean, something bad could happen with that. Then also people now, and it's being suggested more to take pictures of the license plate of the cab. before you get into it, or the cab number in when you're sitting in the back, because usually they have to display it in some kind of way. So if they're going around the world and you're not getting where you're getting, you can just say, hey, and show them the picture or whatever. And you say, hotel now. Don't mess around with whatever, because they might have some ill intention, or they want to have a huge bill or whatever. You know, so if you show that, they're going to say, oh, that's not an easy target. I won't try to deal, mess with her. Okay, hotels. I talked a little bit about this, but know where your exit locations are in your room, in your public areas. If somebody knocks on your door, for God's sakes, always say who it is. And if you didn't ask anything, just go call the desk and say, I've got somebody knocking at my door. What is going on? And another thing, refuse unexpected packages. Yeah. And this can happen, especially if you made friends with somebody and they think, oh, well, I want, nothing like that. Okay. Now, evacuation, if there's an evacuation alert issued and the State Department says evacuate immediately, you pay attention to everything that's coming, that is being communicated to you through your phone or the internet or whatever. But they're going to advise you to get out of the country at the first commercial transport available. And they usually will give you all your travel options, some of which the State Department might arrange and others would just be regular commercial. You ultimately are responsible for getting yourself to the airport, the train station, or the port. But they do have limited resources to provide transportation. So you might be able to go to a certain pickup point and they'll pick you up with others. But you have to be well connected to know all these things. They'll tell you specifically what areas to avoid. They're going to be working with the local government to arrange chartered or non-commercial transport for citizens' departures. Like I said, there might be some chartered aircraft out at 9 o'clock tonight and 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then that's it. There's no other way to get out, okay? And they do partner, they say on the website, also with our Defense Department. So our State Department really does try to protect the citizens when something really bad is occurring. So if you just pay attention and can kind of get into that loop, it's usually going to be okay. Department assistance. Now, if you don't, the money, if you don't have the money to pay for it, because this is going to cost you. If you go out with them, they're gonna charge you. They'll loan you the money, but you have to sign a loan document. They'll also pay for full fare on a commercial or whatever they're doing is usually full coach fare. But they'll pay for it, but you ultimately pay for it. They're going to take you to the nearest safe location. So if you're, say, in Afghanistan, they might get you to Dubai. Or, I don't know where the first safe airport is for American citizens, but they'll get you there, and then you have to get yourself home.
Okay.
So here again, that's why you need the travel insurance, because if everything blows up, you're going to have to buy another ticket. You can't use your old ticket, blah, blah, blah. Maybe if you can book with the same airlines and you've said, oh, I've just went through an emergency evacuation system situation, they might give you a discount or give you a free ticket, but don't bank on it. Okay, two emergency numbers you should have with you at all times when you're traveling abroad. The first one is the basic emergency abroad number, 1-202-501-4441. Okay, I'm going to repeat this again. 1-202-501-4441. 4441. Then there is also what's called an American Traveler Hotline. And this is also good. You should call both of these numbers in the event of a bad emergency. But maybe a littler one, you might just want to call the Traveler Hotline first. But call them both. The second number is 1. This is easier to remember, too. 1-888-407-4747. And I did that by memory, didn't I,
yeah,
Catherine?
Yeah, you did. Good job.
Okay. These are my number one rules, or my kind of tips that are just common sense that you really need to employ. First of all, don't panic. Now, that is a big, a big statement. But really try to just take a breath and don't panic and think. And I put here, don't panic and think. Try to use your smarts to deal with what is happening. And it's amazing. The more calm you can be, the less likely somebody is going to take advantage of you. The situation gets worse. And you prevent yourself from solving the problem or getting away from it. It's kind of like, you know, you're hooking into something bad, so it's dragging you all the way down. Okay, first, after you haven't panicked and you're starting to think, you look for solutions to the problem. Now, what do I need to do? You know, if you lost a shoe, this is not an emergency, but I'm just saying, if the heel comes off of your shoe or whatever, and you don't have any other shoes, well, I mean, you look to see if there's a hotel anywhere around. You get yourself to the hotel. You go in. You say, you know, I'm an American. I just had a problem with my shoes. Where can I go buy another pair of shoes? Start thinking about how would you do this at home if you didn't have your cell phone or you didn't know where you were? How would you get another pair of shoes so you could at least get back to your hotel and get another pair? I know that's a completely ridiculous example, but just look for solutions. And the second thing is look for help. Like I said, seek help. You might ask somebody that looks friendly right there with you, say, you know, I'm lost. Where is, you know, is this the way you go to the Shanghai Museum? Yeah, you're on the right track. It's just 2 more blocks. You know, that has happened to me many times. I think, you know, and I have it all planned out and I'm walking and I'm just not there. And I'm thinking, I got to be lost. And then, you know, I'll just see if I see somebody and I have to say, no, it's just 2 more blocks. But seek help. Follow all instructions, whether it's from the State Department or your hotel or whoever is telling you what to do. And if you can't remember it, say, just a minute, I want to write this down, and follow the instructions and do it. Just have confidence. Then don't sweat the small stuff. I mean, if you lose your purse, you lose your purse, and you just have to go get yourself. And I'm always like trying to get to the nearest hotel because that's what really, they'll always help you. But, you know, get to somewhere where you can either get to the embassy or get to your hotel and start working on how I'm going to solve what has just happened to me. Stay calm, stay calm, stay calm. And then last, just trust that fate will ultimately propel you home safely. Just say a prayer, and even if you're not religious or you don't pray, just trust. That is a powerful elixir that will help you maneuver through this. And as we know in our life and most things, everything does turn out okay. It might be bad for a while, but a lot of times something bad turns into a blessing. So I'll end the podcast with the review once more of the State Department's traveler checklist. Get informed. So go through the whole TravelGov website for the country where you're traveling and specifically the town or the city. Get the required documents, passport, visa, prescriptions, international driver's licenses, etc., and make those copies. Leave one with somebody at home. Get enrolled in the STEP program, Smart Travelers Enrollment Program with the State Department, as well as, you know, follow their social media travel.gov sites. Get insured. Get that travel insurance. Get the medical and the trip interruption, and I highly recommend the medical evacuation services, especially to countries that don't have really high-level medical facilities. You know, if you're going to Paris or London, Madrid, you know, these big, but if you're going to, you know, some of the other countries, I mean, Vietnam and these places, you might really, I would always do it. Be prepared. So, you know, go through all of this and think about your exit strategy, know those numbers, blah, blah, blah. Be connected. Well, that's again, emergency numbers. Make sure your cell phone is charged every night and get those booster batteries, because in certain countries, your cell phone goes down so fast. I don't know what happens. You know, I'm pulling out two of those booster banks, you know, so get yourself some of those too. And last, be safe. Just incorporate these safety tips, or, you know, think about how you would do it. And, you know, there's so many more people traveling now. I mean, you see the planes are just really crowded most of the time. We seem to be having more natural disasters, or maybe because the media is so hyper on these type of events, we hear about them everywhere, all around the world, days on end. But, you know, they could happen. Political and civil unrest, that could happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, so travel is more risky now. I mean, it used to be just for a more moneyed class, and the world was safer and didn't have all this technology, so things couldn't get bad quick. So more than ever, I say that solo travelers need to think ahead and be prepared to work through any crisis that presents itself. The excellent information available on the U.S. State Department's travel website is an invaluable resource to help you avert a crisis when traveling solo, and if a crisis does occur, give you the information you need to successfully maneuver through the crisis.
Just to add one little closing point here. A few minutes ago, we were talking about the sort of, does this sound paranoid or does this sound prepared? And I think that there is something to the idea of you make the decision in advance. So it's like, just like you want to know where the exits are, you do that so that then if should anything happen, you don't have that choice taken away from you. You've done it in advance. It's like the checklist itself. You check that off the list. You don't have to worry about it because it's just now you've made it a practice. You know where the exits are. You can go for it. It's like you've made all those choices in advance so that then if something happens, most likely it won't, but if it does, you have that, just that layer of protection.
Yeah, that just made me think of something. You know, we give away my packing list all the time. Maybe I'll also offer for American citizens a copy of the U.S. State Department travel checklist.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a basic information that they can download from my sites, and, you know, from the podcast, that they can make copies of, and then they can use it as a reference.
Oh, I like it. And maybe we should just have all those numbers. So it's like we've pre-got all those emergency numbers for people. Good idea, Astrid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm doing these podcasts and I have the website, because, you know, I actually learned some things myself from all of this. And it's valuable. Travel is so much fun, and I don't intend to stop traveling because, you know, there are all of these, concerns that, you know, are becoming more real. Some of them are overblown, but some of them really are issues.
Yeah. And it's not really a case of dealing in the worst case scenario. To me, it's kind of like you you have eliminated the problem once you've thought of the worst case scenario. It's like you're able to develop an accurate plan based on having already considered that. That wasn't the most articulate way of saying it, but I think you get what I mean.
Yeah, I think our listeners,
they get it.
The gist of the show. Well, listen, thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, we value all of the people that like the show and subscribe to Solo Travel Talk. We are developing our audience internationally, and it's quite exciting to see all the new listeners. So I do appreciate the people who subscribe, because you know how that is. It makes our shows more available to other people on all the podcast outlets. So thank you for tuning in, and happy and safe travels.
Astrid just mentioned a moment ago that she does have an amazing packing list. So you can get that packing list from her website, astridtravel.com. Right there on the homepage, all you have to do is put in your email and you can download the packing list right away. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, any of the finer places that podcasts can be found. All you have to do is put in Solo Travel Talk and Shazam, there we are. As Astrid said, stay safe, everybody. We look forward to seeing you next time on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.